Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conservative conversation, and you have come here, if you are new, either through a direct link or through Blog Talk Radio, but also for those of you who have Facebook, you can also find this show as part of the Patriots Journalist Network, where you will find a network of shows, and way to find that is to go into the search engine on Facebook and just type in Newt Now, N-E-W-T, N-O-W as one word, and you will see a host of shows, no pun intended, okay, maybe a little bit intended, but you'll find a host such as Charlotte Dively's and her Pray USA show, and you will see this show, And you will also see Samuel Sanford Show, Constitutional Conservatives Unite. And you will also, there is Mark Prasick's show. Now, the reason I'm not giving times or days out these is because they are going to be changing next week. But please look for updates, and if you do, I appreciate it. And also, as I said, you'll find Mark Prasick's live video chat. And you'll also find a link to go to Tex and Rex. And they're all great shows, and I recommend checking them all out. And also, you could find a link to the Patriot Journalist Network through the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. And I just suggest people go and check that out. It does need some updating, especially after recent events with the convention, but I will be working on that this weekend, if not tomorrow. So it'd be great if people could check that out. And also, if you are a visitor to this show and you like the show here, if you can do me the honor by following the show. And the easy way of doing that is by just going to the homepage of Bard's Logic Political Talk. And under the icon, there's a little follow button. Just click that, and there you go. Now, tonight, we're going to cover some information about the Republican Convention. And we'll have updates, and if we hear anything about today's events or any up-to-the-minute developments from the 2012 Republican Convention. And we're also going to cover tonight, which we will include Ben Swan, which many of you know him from Reality Check. And what he's going to cover tonight is, here's a quote from him. It says, "This week in Tampa, for the Republicans, very well is the start of a political revolution." And he will do a reality check, which we will pipe in to this show, which I will be going over there to the channel shortly after the introduction. But we will not miss it. We will have it here tonight, what Ben Swan has to say about the week in Tampa to the Republicans very well is the start of a political revolution. And we will also discuss tonight, and may well even begin with, what the RNC did to the Ron Paul delegates and what is next for conservatives and libertarians. And there will probably be some discussion of third parties and also Gingrich, Palin, Paul, and West supporters, and also supporters with the Libertarian, Conservation, Transformation, and Constitutional parties. How can we unite in order to defeat Obama in November? Now, of course, we'll also can have commentary, debate, and analysis of everything tonight. And as always, calls and chat participation is welcome. And I'm going to flip over at this time to, I see someone in 925. I see you were in the queue, and I'm going to switch over at this time real quick just to make sure that we are not going to miss that reality check, because I do want to bring it as live as possibly can to the folks. Well, I do not see it's on there yet, so I would like at this time to go ahead and bring in 925, and I believe after the reality check, I do have some audio I'd like to play after we do some discussion on what Ben Swan talked about on his show tonight, his episode tonight. So without further ado, 925, thank you for coming to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Robert. This is Paul. How you be?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm kicking around a little bit here, trying to relax after my day job, actually earning a living. I'm one of those people that's fortunate enough to have a job today.
Indeed.
Yeah. I've been seeing, I just toss this out there. I've been seeing questions out there. But what do we do now? And I think you hit on it in your kind of intros here around, how do we get some of these, how do we get this vacuum united into something other than Mitt Romney as the RNC nominee, not the GOP nominee. Right?
That's very well said.
That has at least a context to where I don't feel like it's the GOP that left me. It's the RNC that alienated me right now. I don't have a lot to say on the subject, but I think if there's, as others say, bring in some thought around this on how we can, you know, unite I hate to call it a protest vote, because that really is not what we're about. We're really about getting the foundation set for moving forward in the direction that we want to go, and not where the RNC wants to go. Because as others have said, the vast majority of the GOP is not happy with this candidate at all. Some are just outright disgusted. And this is not from the not happy to the outright disgusted is the vast majority, as we say, the vast majority of the party. So how do we take that the vacuum and channel it into one of these other candidates, or as was raised last night by the America's candidate, focus on a couple of states that the RNC has written off and they don't plan on investing. California being one of those. You know, I live in California. I live in Pelosi territory. My common mantra is I can smell it from my porch, and I'm about 70 miles from San Francisco, actually. So if the RNC is written off California, how can California or other states like California mount a serious threat to Mitt Romney of even him coming in second, so to speak, and show that there is truly an alternative to the RNC? So and I don't know if Britton's going to talk about that or others, but to me, that's where my head is right now. How do we do this? What are the things that individually and group-wise that we need to do, other than just network and talk about it? But what are some of those salient actions that we can take between now and November on a couple of these states? And I don't have answers to that. I've got a couple of thoughts on it, besides just the normal Facebook, the Twitter, and things like that. How do we get to one? Because if we fracture, fracturing Mitt's vote in California, or fracturing the vote in California, is not an issue, because the RNC or the conservative side of the not Obama, that's fait accompli, not Mitt. Okay, but if we fracture the vote across four or five candidates, it doesn't show up on anybody's radar.
Right.
It shows up as 2 or 3% everywhere.
Hold on. I apologize, but we do have here where they're discussing the reality check. So let me see what we've got here.
Not a problem, Robert.
Okay, great. Okay, folks, this might be just a description of what he's going to be covering tonight for the reality check, but I'm going to double check, because that is something that we said we were going to cover tonight. So give me some moments and check this out.
Not a problem.
You know, just talking about some weather, but then I did see, well, here we go.
It may be overshadowed by the shocking steps taken by Republican leadership this week. We told you earlier this week about a rule change that would strip Republican grassroots from having a say in their own party's future. Tonight, evidence that the outcome of the vote on those rules was scripted, and Republican Speaker of the House John Boehner may have played right along. Is a civil war now breaking out in the Republican Party? Tonight, a reality check you won't see anywhere else. There is so much to tell you tonight, it will be difficult to get it all in. But let's start with the rule change. The RNC pushed through a new rule that will forever change the way that Republicans choose their candidates. Rule 16 is for the election, selection, allocation, or binding of delegates and alternate delegates. Any statewide presidential preference vote for the Republican nomination for president in a primary, caucus, or state convention must be used to allocate and bind the state's delegation to the national convention in either a proportional or winner-take-all manner. In layman's terms, that means there are no more free delegates to vote as they choose. And then part two, no delegate or alternate delegate who is bound or allocated to a particular presidential candidate may be certified. If the presidential candidate to whom the delegate or alternate delegate is bound or allocated has, in consultation with the state party, disavowed the delegate or alternate delegate. Again, what does that mean? It means no delegate, even if elected by Republicans of that state, They serve as a delegate if the candidate and the state party decide they don't like them and they want to replace them. Conservative, Tea Party members, and Liberty supporters immediately vowed a floor fight over this rule. On Tuesday morning, delegates from Virginia and Rhode Island were on their way to lead that fight when their bus driver refused to stop at the convention center three times, circling the building, then leaving the area altogether. And when they returned to the convention center, well, the delegates had already missed their chance to vote on this issue. One of those Virginia delegates, Matthew Hurd, tweeted as this was going on. Take a look. Horton Blackwell was on a bus outside the Rules Committee where he needed to fight for grassroots conservatives. We have looped around the GOP convention twice and driven away from it. Rules Committee member Morton Blackwell still on the bus. So who is this Morton Blackwell that was trapped on this bus with Virginia delegates? Blackwell is a member of the RNC Rules Committee, and he was the most ardent advocate opposed to the rules change. Now, inside the convention hall, delegates who did make it, they were asked by Speaker of the House, John Baker, to vote on adopting this new rule. Now, listen as the vote is taken.
The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. How can the Speaker of the House determine clearly how many voted aye and how many voted no? Listen again, but this time, the cell phone video from inside the crowd. Well, maybe there's a good reason. A really good reason that Boehner claimed the ayes had it. Today, incredible cell phone video was released as delegates stood by and videotaped the teleprompter that Speaker Boehner was reading from. We're going to take this video full so you can read along for yourself. Rule in the Republican Party's history, according to countless conservatives, wasn't voted through at all. It was scripted. Despite the shouts of what at least half the room of delegates appeared to have been voting, Boehner just read along with the script. So why is this rule so controversial? Well, consider this. In 1976, Ronald Reagan was a conservative outsider in the Republican Party. But delegates who were conservatives fought back against the presumptive nominee at the time, Gerald Ford, and they forced a brokered convention. Reagan nearly upset Ford thanks to conservative delegates who had had enough with progressive Republicanism. Brian Doherty is a Republican National Convention delegate from Pennsylvania. He made this point about this rule change this week. Quote, now these rules as they are, if they were in place in 1976, Ronald Reagan would never have risen to power in the Republican Party. When he challenged Ford in 76, he would not have had a say. And then he would not have been in a position to win in 1980. So we would not have a President Reagan if those rules had existed back then. So what you need to know is that the Republican Party didn't need to do any of this to nominate Mitt Romney. Romney had the nomination. He had the numbers of these. But looking ahead, it appears the party was so concerned about not having to put up with Tea Party candidates or Liberty candidates in the future, or apparently with those conservatives like Ronald Reagan in the past, that they were willing to start a civil war for control of the party. Make no mistake, what happened in Tampa will not stay in Tampa. And that is Reality Check. If you would like to make your voice heard on this story, it's obviously a very controversial one, head over to my Facebook page. Also, while you're there, we have posted a news conference that we have a link for where the delegates, Conservative Liberty, Tea Party delegates who were in Tampa held a news conference tonight claiming that this entire convention was a sham. You can watch that news conference, a link for it, on that Facebook page. Just search it by looking for Ben Swan, W-X-I-N.
Okay, folks, I hope you got that good and loud and clear. I am recording it so that if it needs to be replayed, I'll be more than happy to share that with the audience. So would you like to chime in about that?
Sorry, I'm talking on mute. It doesn't work very well. Well, I said my comment in the chat window, but I'll tone it down for the radio here. These guys are to me they're criminals.
One real quick question, because I didn't get a chance to hear it over the phone. Did you hear everything clear enough or?
It was a little garbled, but it was I could hear and make out what he was saying. The part that I was hoping was a little bit clearer, but the message came true loud and clear. Was the ayes and the nays.
Well, I tell you what, I actually have a clip. Okay, well that's fine.
But I have a
clip of that I can play if you want to hear it clear.
No, I'm fine with it. It was clear enough to understand for me anyway that. The noise of the ayes and the nays was equal. And if anything, you know, maybe it's my predilection that the nays were louder. So anything that close has to go to a roll call vote. It can't just be the ayes have it by reading the script, as was pointed out by Ben.
Right.
There
is a video where you can see you can see it scripted on the teleprompter.
I'm right with you. I've heard it. I've seen some folks Twitter that say it was the teleprompter kind of thing.
It was.
Yeah, that is you know, Boehner, when he said that, you know, as it is, he's gotten into my disgusting criminal category. But when he read that, I could see him kind of look around for some guidance, right? So. I don't think he's feeling real comfortable with what he did. Now, to me, that means that the guy may have a conscience. He's just bowing to power. So the question is, if he's the Speaker of the House and the President is Democrat, who's the power he's bowing to?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question.
That's Mitt Romney. Well, why does at that point in time, not the nominee. Well, let me back up. Did the vote take place before those rules were put on the floor? I think they did, but still, Romney's only the nominee. He is not an elected official in the RNC management. So how is it that he wields that much power over the Speaker of the House on something this important? What is it? And that is the piece that is extremely disturbing to me. Because if he can control Boehner there with that much on the line on these kinds of rules, what else is he going to do if he becomes POTUS, President of the United States? That can be scary as hell.
That's true. And it also, in my opinion, shows how weak Boehner really is. I mean, for him if the guy's got to read a script, if he's got to read from from a teleprompter, you know, and I find it ironic that, you know, they blast Obama, and rightly so, about using the teleprompter all the time. But yet, I mean, for something as important as this, they use a teleprompter. You know what I mean? Unbelievable.
Yeah. What is it that is just destroying these people? What are they afraid of? Are they that afraid of, you know, stammering just a little bit on a podium of really, which is kind of an ad hoc roll call anyway? Why is it that they have to be so scripted? Are they that afraid of the populace to make one little mistake and get trounced? If they're that afraid of making that small of a mistake, when are they going to stand up and do bold things and do real things that are going to cause serious debate and, you know, the accusations fly? What's going to happen then? If they can't stand up and be their own man, how are they going to stand up and vote the way that we want them to when it comes to the right bills to be passed or the right legislation to be killed, wrong legislation to be killed? I don't have faith in these people in power in the RNC at all. Not at all.
Oh, I know. And the liberals are so entrenched, and the moderates of the Republican Party, they're just so entrenched in the positions of power. Even, you know, I'll make a statement of this today, is even if, you know, the conservatives and libertarians in the party are the majority of the party or the base of the party, if they're not in the upper echelons, if they're not in the power or part of the power structure that is the Republican Party, then what can the masses do? You know, what can the larger amount of the conservatives, libertarians do if they're not in the positions of power in order to make sure? I mean, look how much, you know, would you say that Newt Gingrich is probably one of the most powerful voices of the Republican Party?
I would say not now, not anymore.
But he was, and look what they did to him.
He was the most powerful voice in getting things done. I mean, let's face it. You know, Reagan communicated to the people and got the people behind his vision, and turned around or turned over and said, "Hey, Newt, here's what I need to get done." And Newt went and got it done, right? And that is why they, and led by Boehner back then, as Boehner being one of the, I wouldn't say freshmen, but he was one of the less powerful people that did not like what Newt was doing, because it destroyed that good old boy stuff that Boehner is part of. Well, now what they've got is, in this RNC elites, is they've got this power structure that if you're not going to go along with what they want for their power structure, then you're not going to be able to have a voice. And what that means is the libertarians, the other conservative parties, the real key people, the real key candidates that have been seated, those people who are true conservatives, who want to pass little pieces at a time in a way how Newt got things passed, those people don't have a voice to be heard, because the elites that are about power, not goodness for the country, those people won't let them have a voice in the party. So what's the alternative? We have to have a different party where we can have a voice, and then force the things to happen that are the conservative values that, you know, Reagan holds to, that Newt holds to, Sarah holds to, and Ron Paul holds to. Now, I don't agree with everything Ron Paul holds to, but there's a big chunk of stuff that I agree with him on. But it's the peripheral things that I'd have to walk a separate way on some of Ron Paul's areas. But until we have another party or remove those in power of the RNC, and, you know, that is Mitt, that is John Boehner, that is John Sununu, and let's go right on down. And now today we see that this is also Paul Ryan, and we can go down this list of the rest of those folks that are the top committee members in the RNC as well within the legislature. Those folks are all about retaining power. They are not about getting the right things through Congress for this country, or stopping the wrong things that are trying to get fostered in Congress. So how do we remove those people? We've got to vote. We can either have to vote them out or start a new party. We need to find candidates to put up against these people in their own districts. And we're really talking about the House right now, not so much the Senate. We haven't seen too much of the Senate lately because it's been under Harry Reid's control.
One thing I'm concerned with is that, you know, even if we get, you know, more conservatives in, then, I mean, how are we going to get them into the seats of power where, you know, they can be able to control in the way, and I don't even like the way that the moderates and the liberals have controlled the folks in the Republican Party. But, I mean, And we could get all kinds of, you know, conservatives elected. You know, I mean, Sarah Palin's actually has been really good at that. However, if these Republicans that come in, when they are there, you know, just like I would say Marco Rubio, for instance, or Nikki Haley, for instance, who were supposed to be Tea Party candidates, I mean, even you know, I mean, they ended up endorsing Romney. I mean, you even had Rand Paul end up kowtowing. I mean, it was a very weak endorsement of Mitt Romney, but you even had Rand Paul endorse him. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, when you're going to have that happen, you know, when party above all, I mean, how can you get this guy? I mean, how can you get, you know, in power? How do you get the moderates and liberals out of power so that you can get, you know, conservatives in there? I mean, some are, you know, suggesting that the Republican Party has to be, you know, so vastly diminished that they'll say, look, you know, this, you know, having these moderates and these, you know, liberals in the party being, you know, in the upper echelons of power, we need to get these guys out of here because they're destroying the party. And then, you know, hopefully then they'll finally get, you know, conservatives, you know, in there in those positions.
Yeah, I don't know, Robert. It's trying to, you know, overtly recapture the GOP party, I think, is problematic. What may be happening here, and as I ponder this, it begins to hold some water for me, is maybe this is covert. The notion of, you know, Sarah Palin endorsing a few candidates, Ted Cruz, one of those that got the party nomination to go into the general election. Ted Cruz speaking and being very well received at the RNC convention. Who's to say that Ted Cruz is all of a sudden corrupt because he was speaking there? You know, who's to say that Ted Cruz isn't a person who will hold true to his values, but has been accepted by the RNC for endorsing Mitt? So now he's there. He's not an outcast. He's not silenced, but he can vote his principles. Now, how many other situations like that do we really have? I mean, you know, Rand Paul is looking to the future as well.
I understand that.
I don't know.
But you would think if you had the majority, you know, of the party, if they all, you know, coalesced and, you know, joined together and resisting, you know, the moderates and the liberals within the party, you know, why they don't do that, and what, you know, is because they're not in the positions of power. But I'd like to get, at this time, 610 to call up there. I can't even talk. Get 610 to chime in. So 610, I'm going to open your mic and tell me what's on your mind, and then we'll have, after that, we'll have Paul go ahead and continue. 610, go ahead.
It's Kathy from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Thank you for coming into the show.
Okay, not a problem. I was looking forward to you, and I was hoping, is Rex on?
No, not yet. I think Rex and Tex, they did call in the Sammys. I don't even know if Sammy's show is still going on. I'm uncertain about that.
I don't think
that.
So.
They might be taking a break, because it's been a very long week for all of us.
You're not kidding. All right. I'm not sure who was speaking. Paul?
Paul?
Oh, I know who. Okay. We were kicking it around. And there are several scenarios that can take place. But you were saying about latest guy was Atkins was talking with the RNC. Well, so does Newt. Newt talks with the RNC also. And that's because, you know, he has to play the game too. And that's the only way that Atkins. That's the only way he can get to speak too, is to play the game and get some airtime. I don't know if he's being well received by the RCN, but he's certainly answering the right questions at this point for them to allow him to speak. You've got to have a certain amount of kowtowing to get any kind of attention. We were just talking about Ron Paul. He went to the airport with his granddaughter and his wife. Did you hear about that?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. Actually, I think he did, and they got didn't they get like the TSA or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, I heard about that. Ridiculous.
And it goes on. And doesn't seem to be going away. But, there's definitely got to be some revamping of the RNC. I just became an independent. And I'm really done with being a Republican, because their idea of a Republican is that you're in the bag as far as where your vote's going to be. So you're not really important anymore. And the same with the Democrats. If you're a Democrat, registered Democrat, they figure they've already got you in the bag and they don't need to, you know, pay attention. And then they go back and they pay attention to the independents. And that's because they need the independent vote, because we're not dedicated to either one. And the next next point of action is to, you know how they're talking about going from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top?
Right.
Well, I tried to figure out how to do that, and I realized the other day that you would start with the mayor's office in your town. And so that's not good enough for me to just start there. What I'm going to do is write a letter to my governor, and I'm going to CC my mayor. And I'm going to write a letter to my mayor and CC my governor. And then I'm going to CC everybody, write a letter to one person and CC it to their sort of counterpart in the lower end of things, and see if I get any traction or attention from them. We were talking the other day about writing in candidates, and just read that they're giving Pennsylvania, where I come from, is telling Johnson that if he doesn't come on as a write-in candidate, they will give him money to not be on the ballot.
Really?
Because he's on the ballot he's trying to get on the ballot in 40 states, and you have to be on the ballot as a write-in to be a write-in. So, the end of the write-in, if you have to be in there half an hour, a month before November 6th, November 4th, whatever it is. And so it's really no surprise. But they also don't count those votes. They're allowing them to put down, but they don't count them.
Right.
And the other thing is that Johnson's trying to get on in Iowa, and the RNC is trying to stop him there, because they're actually afraid that if he gets on in Iowa, polls people will vote for him.
Of course,
so the Romney
will.
People.
Johnson might be able to get five. Get five states, five swing states, or at least, it'd be something that would affect Romney. I have an article somewhere that perhaps I'll read tonight on that. I know I've got it. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I thought Paul was going to chime in on something there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just saying, if Ron Paul, gets on the ballot as an independent or can be written in a state where he has a good following and it's legal to do that, or they will count the votes if done that way. He's going to make a great showing. He will. And, if he's successful in having a write-in ballot for Iowa, I think he'll take Iowa. I really do.
Johnson is working on getting on the ballot in Iowa and in Pennsylvania. Ron Paul's doing.
Yeah, I've got a short article here. I'll read for the folks, you guys, and it says it is from the Libertarian Party. It's a press release. It says Governor Gary Johnson could cost Romney five battleground states, 74 electoral votes needed to win in 2012. It says two-term Governor Gary Johnson votes in North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Nevada, and Colorado could determine the winner of the 2012 presidential election. Libertarian presidential candidate Governor Gary Johnson is polling at 5.3 nationwide. And it says what the newspaper that they're quoting from, Jay-Z Analytics / Washington Times. But look at the numbers where he's included in statewide polls against Obama and Romney. 13% in New Mexico, 9% in Arizona, 7% in Colorado, 7% in New Hampshire, 8% in Montana, and these polls are from the PPP and others, it says. Governor Johnson's poll numbers and his votes this November may be the critical factor in tipping point or battleground states like North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Nevada, and Colorado, where Obama and Romney are 1% to 6% apart. Mitt Romney needs these five states, these 74 electoral votes, to win the White House. North Carolina and Virginia voted Republican 7 out of 8 presidential races. Florida and Colorado voted Republican in 6 out of the last 8. Nevada voted Republican in 5 out of the last 8. All 5 of these battleground states voted for Barack Obama in 2008. Zogby, Rasmussen, Gallup, CNN, Opinion Research, New York Times, Washington Post, well, there's a list of them, blah, blah, blah. All know that 3% or 6% or 9% of the vote for Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson in these states could easily cost Romney 74 electoral votes in the 2012 presidential election. Starting now, these organizations need to include two-term Governor Gary Johnson in all state presidential polls, especially in these 5 Romney must-win battleground states. Gary Johnson was a two-term Republican governor of New Mexico, 1995 to 2003. During his 8 years in office, he vetoed over 750 bills, more than all other governors combined. He was repeatedly recognized and honored as the most fiscally conservative governor in America.
Wow.
And then it just gives a list of a bunch of polling places. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a short article. But, I mean, that's the effect that Gary Johnson could very well have on for Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something's got to give. Long ago it was, Perot was my guy.
Yeah, I mean, Romney's got a big enough problem just going head-to-head with Obama. When you put those 3 in the mix, I mean, Gary's numbers are going to go up, and I really see his numbers going up because these polls haven't translated into this vacuum that is coming out of the RNC, convention. So when his numbers go up, it's not going to be Obama's that go down; it's going to be Mutt's that goes down. Right, because the undecided stuff, at least from the way that I'm thinking about it, and obviously I would get more information because all this stuff changes fairly rapidly. But this undecided stuff isn't to my context, isn't between Mitt and Obama. It's between how much do I dislike Mitt to vote for Obama.
Yes.
And so translating that into, I can't vote for Obama, and I really don't like Mitt, so I'm going to vote for Gary because I want to send a message. Right? And when those numbers start rolling in, I'm going to be very surprised if Gary doesn't come up above 10% in most of the states. Higher than that, even. Much as high as 20% maybe in a couple of key states.
And that's just
the old veteran who rides a Harley who happens to find information sources not on Fox or MSNBC, and I'm just putting some pieces together myself here, but that's what I'm thinking right now, and I'll just keep thinking through this as we go forward. Translating that is, what is the RNC elite going to do when they see that? Because they're going to see those numbers well before, and they're going to know what those numbers are before they start getting put out into these prognosticator polls in the mainstream, right? So I'm going to be watching it very closely and watching what's going on with this to see how he pivots or can't pivot and how erratic he begins to get, because that's his pattern. When he gets pressured into things, when he gets in a tight situation, he knee-jerks. you can see it, and it'll be fidgets. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are they going to be able to control that if he's going to have to stay in the public eye? I don't know, but I think it's going to be very, very interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point right now, I think Myth loses and loses big.
I agree. Because I think people are not, well, they're focused on Romney, but I think that the other thing is they're going to send a message to Rince Priebus, or whatever his name is.
We call him Rince Pubis around here.
Yes,
yeah.
I've heard that too.
Rince Pubis and John Boehner, yeah.
Rince
yeah.
And Repeat.
And
don't forget Tsunami.
Tsunami,
The new Nets?
Yeah, Tsunami.
okay.
He's worthless also. Or become worthless. But I think that he really needs to be gone. And losing. See, winning would be bad because it would mean Priebus was right. So he can't be right. He's got to lose. He's got to be out of there. We need another reason to eject him, and everybody who's all of his entourage.
Yeah, well, my personal opinion is that Michael Steele was removed because he wouldn't play Romney's game. So
yeah,
Romney got his minions around the RNC to remove Michael Steele, and they put in Romney's lackey, Rince Priebus, right?
Okay.
So my sense here is Rince Priebus isn't right about anything. All he is doing is parroting what he's being told to say. So if Romney gets elected, Romney was right, and I'll give him that. Okay, I'll give him that he was right that he could get elected. But that's it.
Mm.
That's all. But I don't see it happening. I don't see. I mean, it to me, Mutz Romney is a no-win scenario.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the big piece of it is that America's going to lose. No matter what happens, America's going to lose.
No, I agree with that.
I agree with
that 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why, when Romney won the nomination, one of the things I suggested for, people to do was to, fly the flag half-mast, because I think, that might have very well been the death of the Republican Party, and also, the death of the hopes of America to not get another 4 years of Romney, of Obama.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, Robert, you can't tell the difference either.
Oh, I know.
I think it's
what she said. He voted, right, someone said tonight that, pretty much everything that Obama has done, I wouldn't say for the nation, I should say to the nation,
mm-hmm.
is pretty much what Romney did to Massachusetts.
The copy.
Mm-hmm. So I need to put this in some terms some veterans would understand. One idiot in our lifetime, well, maybe in some of our lifetimes, fought a war on two fronts and got his butt kicked. It's called Hitler, right? Romney doesn't know it, but he's going to have to fight a war on two fronts, and Obama
mm-hmm.
has a war on one front because he only needs to beat Mitt. Mitt needs to beat Gary Johnson and Obama.
That's true.
And that dual front war is going to be more than he can mount an offense for. And Mark, and he does need to have a total offensive campaign. And I mean that from a standpoint
mm-hmm.
of offense and offensive, because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have the I have done this kind of message to send. He doesn't have here's my idea and how I'm going to do it type of message to send. So it's
mm-hmm.
a total offensive campaign on two fronts that he has to manage. And when you look at the public that sees that kind of campaign on two fronts, what are they going to do? They're going to turn off to that candidate because they don't like that offensive message. So
mm-hmm.
they got to, so that's why I say Gary's number. idea of. And that, mm-hmm. That's why, that's one of the reasons he's going, he's a no-win scenario.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, he's got his checkbook out, Ronnie, and he's trying to buy off now the writing vote.
And I know which church that funding bank checkbook comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I was just gonna chime in as I noticed, because you know I was keeping the monitor open, the TV monitor on 19 to check reality check. And I'm thinking maybe after 11 o'clock there might be an influx of people coming in. Perhaps, but because I just realized that Mitt Romney is speaking right now at the Republican convention. Yeah, so I mean, I'm not going to watch it. I mean, I couldn't stomach seeing that guy talking.
Well, you see how he holds my attention, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I appreciate everyone and the callers in the chat, refraining from watching that. I mean, I was actually talking to somebody on chat. And you're kind of doing some multitasking, and they're like, "Oh, I'm watching the convention. You know, Romney's talking on the convention." And I asked him, I said, "How can you stomach that? I mean, I didn't, I watched some of the convention because I had to, you know, just for reporting purposes for the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had to keep a bottle of Pepto Bismol next to me, keep the bile from coming up, and getting all over the place. So I mean, I always felt like that little girl in the in The Exorcist, where, you know, she's spewing all that stuff. But from all the evil that evil. But
projectile in green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the few times I don't like something that's green. But, yeah, so, as I said, I'm expecting maybe. And what I might do for the folks, if we do indeed get an influx afterwards, I'll probably replay the clip from the Ben Swan reality check. I'll try to fix any kind of garbled stuff that they had. Maybe I just had it too loud going over, and I'll listen to the archives to see what it sounds like on your end, what you guys heard. It's just because I need to tweak some things for future, because I think Ben Swan and the reality check is going to be a big portion. Not a big portion of the show, but I mean, I think they're really going to go places. I really do. And there's even some people talking about, you know, Ben Swan for, you know, press secretary. Now, of course,
I know,
you know, that's if Romney would get elected, but since we know that's not going to happen, you know, it's a nice thought, but I mean, I really can't see Romney getting elected. And it pains me because, as I said, I mean, I've been a loyal Republican for, you know, most of my life. You know, and I mean, I've been considering myself a Republican since I was, you know, 10 years old. It's called me, "Oh, look at Robbie Jetter, the little Republican," you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember Ronald Reagan. And actually, it was, you know, and I guess it's ironic in a way, is it was Ronald Reagan's convention that turned me on to politics when I was 10 years old. I remember, you know, watching it and being so, you know, so in awe of everything else going on during the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it odd that it's yet another convention that's turning me off to the Republican Party.
Ironically, yes. That's interesting.
Yeah, so I was introduced to the Republican Party with the convention, and now I'm, you know, feel like it's time for me to exit for at least a while from the Republican Party because of what happened in the convention.
I agree. Now, I'm so down. But as I say, that's my take, is that we've got to get with the people with the states now and be concerned about what's happening within the state, each of our states, and how it's going to affect the Congress. And John Boehner, he's just a wimp. No backup.
You mean Boehner? Oh, yeah, Boehner's got to go, and Rince Priebus does, too.
And, yes, the whole lot. I mean, they're just, I don't know where the money's coming from, but it keeps on flowing. What's really funny is they keep asking us for money.
the big corporations. It's coming from the big corporations because the Republican Party, just like the Democrat Party, you know, are both owned by the big corporations. And they, the corporations pull the strings. I mean, look, the people who were Obama's big contributors are now Romney's biggest contributors. So.
Yeah, it seems like the contributors have fallen into the fear trap. We fear Obama, and much is the only alternative that we've got. So you know, it's very sad. It's really sad.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's and they use that. You know, remember when we you know you've heard the clips that the Republicans played about Al Gore talk about, you know, Bush. He played on our fears. You know, and how much grief that people gave Al Gore. Now, you know, I'm not an Al Gore fan. You know, I may be an environmentalist, but I'm not an Al Gore fan. And, you know, that's the same tactics that the Republican Party and the so-called conservative news used against, you know, the folks like, you know, Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich saying that the only person that could beat Obama, the only one who was electable, was Romney, when actually the exact opposite was true. I mean, if the one candidate that could or could not defeat Obama was Romney, I mean, just look at his record, you know. So they just created that narrative, and they used the fear of Obama, saying, oh, well, you know, Romney might not be conservative enough, but he's the only one who could beat Obama, so we just need to get behind him. You know, and using all that fear about, you know, fear of Obama to get there.
Exactly. It's you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Make the people afraid of the other guy, so that they turn to you when you don't have anything to offer yourself. And that's what's happening here. That's what they're doing to each other now. That's the only thing that they're doing to each other is, you know, the RNC has turned into, well, we offer better hope than he has, right? But you know, the guys they've got now at the top don't have the leadership to drive the right things through Congress. We'll wind up with just more stuff that is inappropriate, that is bad for the country. Now, look at, it wasn't Paul Ryan, but who was the other guy that put together the omnibus package on the Republican side.
I'm having a brain freeze on that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got his name. I got his face right there. You know, wears glasses, kind of sharp looking guy, dapper.
I'm having a brain freeze. I'm sorry.
You know, no, that's okay. I had it too. You know, so I was
it's been a really long week, as you can imagine. I said it's just been, you know, really hectic weekend, you know, so.
But he put together this massive bill that had some good things in it, and, you know, the typical rider bills to, you know, spread the cheese around so that you could get the votes for it, right? But it was another huge thing. And it went nowhere because there was too much in it. You know, unless you've got, you know, like Obama had to get health care through, where his own party fought him more than the Republicans did. Because he owned both houses, but he had to fight that thing for, what, 10 months with his own party to get it through. It wasn't us. It wasn't the Republicans who were fighting. We just said no and left it there.
Well, I tell you what, one of the things, we're coming up with the first hour. One of the things I like to do, and this is what it's going to really be like in my opinion, is there's a little comedy here. It's only about a minute long, this audio I'm going to play. And, you know, as I said, it's, you know, we're into the first hour, so I like to, you know, lighten the mood just a little bit before we get back to the serious stuff. But this is kind of serious because I really do think that this is what a Mitt Romney and a Obama debate is going to sound like.
Mr. President, just how different are you from Governor Romney?
Now, let me be clear. I agreed with Governor Romney on many things. For instance, abortion. He was pro-choice most of his adult life. So was I. But he changed his position when he became presidential candidate Romney.
Hold on.
Now, let's take guns. Now, Governor Romney and I, we were in complete agreement on gun control. Now, that is, until he changed his mind.
But I...
And on health care, well, I was so inspired by Romneycare that I nationalized it and called it Obamacare.
Whoa.
But now, presidential candidate Romney is against the individual mandate and universal health care. I agreed with Governor Romney on many things, but this presidential candidate Romney, I don't even know the guy. Then again, he doesn't seem to know himself.
Oh, come on!
Governor Romney?
Any of our teachers responsible for the content of this message.
I mean, it's funny, but it's true. I mean, what the hell are they going to debate about? I mean, really, they see eye to eye on everything.
Exactly.
At least that's what the records show.
Well, you know, that's why they turned it to, you know, that's why everybody's kind of saying, well, why did they turn the debate now to health care? Because when it gets down to the, the reason is because Paul Ryan can chew it up, right, because he knows this stuff, knows that stuff inside and out. But when the two POTUS candidates, you know, step into that debate, you know, all Obama has to do is, I'll use this one. And boom, it's over. Right, and same thing on these other issues. Well, how about jobs? Well, I use his plan, try to tax everybody to stimulate the economy.
Right.
There is no room for debate. I mean, Romney said he's going to do four. Right. Okay. Well, what happens when Gary Johnson's numbers come up, and those League of Women Voters is one that always comes to mind, and there's a couple of other. Groups that sponsor these debates that are not even at the control of either candidate, and that's why they sponsor these, right? Because they're a concerned third party, so to speak. Well, they're going to decide whether to include Gary Johnson or not, not the candidates. I mean, the candidates can say, look, you include him, and I'm not showing up, right? Well, okay, so that's not going to work, right? Because all the example, League of Women Voters, well, the candidates decided not to show up because we wanted Gary Johnson to be there. Population, why are they both scared of Gary Johnson? Let me go look into this guy. Boom, his numbers go up. it gets right back to what's the win scenario for Mutz in this whole thing. I mean, it's not the debates, right? It's not. I have a different plan. It's let Paul Ryan talk about health care.
Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich talk about all the, you know, shortly after Newt Gingrich suspended his campaign, you had, they had Newt Gingrich going out and talking about conservative values and bold conservative ideas, because he was the only, he was the only one, not the only one, but he was one you could articulate it, and Mitt Romney definitely could not, because it's not Mitt Romney's core.
He can't think in those terms. Right, he doesn't think in the values for governing. He thinks in the pluses and minuses for buying, divesting, and acquiring wealth. Acquiring wealth. You don't acquire wealth as a government. You get shit out of the way so other people can do it that aren't the government. Right. So he doesn't even have that kind of thinking in his lexicon. That's why he can't talk about it. Right. He can't be trained to think that way. Not now. I mean, you have to be trained to think that way in the course of a few months. Right? If he really was conservative, he would have been trying to figure this thing out in 2008. Right? And he would have had those mental things, mentally memorized at least, to be able to espouse them. Right now, all he can say is, I'm extremely conservative.
Yeah. Well, we know he's not. I mean, if he was extremely conservative, he wouldn't be going while Newt Gingrich is campaigning in Georgia at the Georgia convention. You wouldn't have Romney on that very same day in Florida, going to a fundraiser to the CEO of the manufacturers of the day after pill.
I'm against abortion. Oh, by the way, I've got a whole slew of investments and everything on the other side of the coin.
$50,000 plate. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say when it happened, he didn't know that, the money was coming from these guys.
But by now, he's got to know. You think he would have, you know, done the conservative thing, the right thing, and give the money back? Of course not. Not Romney.
No.
I mean, that's, you could buy a lot of subs with that money.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and Newt had it right. You know, this whole thing about super PACs, right? Why did they put the super PACs in place? They put them in place so that the candidates could acquire campaign funds without going through the regulations of, you know, what, $2,500 on an individual and what is it, $10,000 on a company, right? Because there aren't enough people and there aren't enough companies to get to the funding level that they want to be able to defeat their opponent through media, right? Because if the media, it's not travel costs. It's payola to your staff and graft otherwise and media costs, right? Okay? So that's where the super PACs came from. And nobody was fighting it because they wanted to spend more money. And, you know, personally, just from that aspect of it, I really didn't care. And if they want to spend more money on a campaign to get the message out, okay, fine. But what's happened is now is that these funds can come from anywhere, because now the candidate doesn't receive these funds. It's a super PAC. Right? And the super PAC isn't accountable for saying, I got these funds from overseas, from this terrorist group. They don't have to report that, because that's a private organization, not even a 501c, private organization. Right? Okay? So that's where these funds go to from these strange places. Like when Obama was overseas campaigning in China, doing fundraisers in China, he wasn't getting that money. It was his super PACs that were getting that money so that he didn't get this illegal campaign contributions overseas.
Right.
We all thought, oh, well, Romney's getting campaign over here. It's illegal. He's a criminal. So now he's not qualified anymore. No. He went over there to ask for the money, sure, but it's donated over there, and so I'm not accountable for it. So what Newt said, and this went back when he was getting eviscerated in Florida, he said, look, we know this stuff is corrupt. Okay, we know that why we created it, and we know now that it has been circumvented and it's corrupt. So here's what you do: you have unlimited donations to the candidate. But you have all the rules apply. Must be a domestic citizen. Must be a domestic company. That has to be reported who the funds come from. That way, if the candidates don't like, example, Romney getting money, saying he's pro-life, getting money from companies that are pro-abortion, right? Then you see this. Then you can say that candidate's taking money from something that he doesn't stand for, that we don't stand for. Give it back, or you're not our candidate. We're not voting for you. And that's where the accountability comes from, through disclosure, not through this give it to someplace else. Anyway, so I do want to say something, Robert. I'll dial it back one. But anyway, Newt got it right again. And it was instinctive.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't one of those, well, we got to go figure it out. I need to hire some consultants. I want some ideas, and then I'll make a decision. No, it was instinctive, right out of the gate. Here's what's wrong with it. Here's what we should do. Make the people decide. Inform them. That core principle of an informed public will make the right decision, that core principle with him, let him get to that realization on a dime. Where everybody else is, well, I got to figure out what to say so I don't get in trouble. Newt just didn't care. All he was his core principle, the Jeffersonian core principle, an informed public will make the right decision. Let's inform them and take away the financial barriers of why they did the super PAC anyway. Boom. That's the kind of candidates we need everywhere, is the core principles rule their on-a-dime answer. They don't have to go think about it for 6 months and take polling to see what they should answer with.
Right.
So anyway, that's my rant for the 5 minutes.
Oh, no, that's okay. And that's what, you know, one of the things we're here for is people to, you know, to get out their views and what they think and things of that nature. You know, it's definitely an audience, you know, a lot of audience participation. And, you know, and when I can, you know, I like to incorporate things from people saying in the chat as well. But it's been, you've seen how this week is, how it's been. I think, you know, you could tell people kind of kind of winding down, and, you know, I know there's, you know, I am, and I know there's others out there who are just absolutely just physically, mentally, and in some ways emotionally drained from this whole process, because, you know, so many people fought so hard to not be at this point, you know, with Romney having the, you know, the nomination. And it just, you know, I guess, you know, it's frustrating. And then all the stuff that they did with, you know, the Ron Paul people and the new people, you know, and things of that nature. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
I'm doing some flipper vision, and that idiot is still on the TV. So.
I've got the TV going in the background. I'm watching The Mentalist. Right.
Oh, there you go.
I'm in full deep depression mode. Plus, the business that I'm in, we're approaching some deadlines where we've got to have, and I'm in the IT business, we've got to have some systems completed before mid-October, because we have a year in moratorium in the brick and mortar that I'm in. They've got the systems moratoriums from like first part of November through January. So if we don't get things in and done, we're screwed. If those seasonal activities are dependent on it. So I've got 60, 75 hour weeks in front of me from now until really mid October.
Yeah.
I'm burning it up too. At this time of day, I've got like so much caffeine that's trying to get out of my system. That sometimes that's why I stimmer and stammer a lot. It's the jitters from the caffeine that's been charging me all day.
There you go. Yeah, I definitely have a good amount of coffee myself to get to the day. Now, for the folks who just came in, I like to play this, and this is part of the clip, or not the clip. It wasn't a clip. It was actually the live reality check from Ben Swan. And as I said, I've got to record it for if people start chiming in or coming in later, if Romney ever shuts his pie hole. Because I know there's a lot of people out there, I think just out of sheer curiosity, want to hear what this moron has to say. I mean, moron. You know what I mean. But, let me make this disclaimer for the Romney folks out there who may be listening. Because I'm not saying he's a moron because he's a Mormon. Okay, so I'm not saying that. I'm just doing a play on words. Okay, so I'm not some bigoted anti-Mormon, Mormon hating, you know, whatever. Actually, if you ask me, I think the Mormon religion is actually kind of interesting. I mean, heck, you die, and if you did really well, you could get your own planet with a lot of wives. Yeah, I think I could sign on for that. You know, okay, you died, you did great, you got your own planet now, and you got all these wives. Yeah, that sounds like a good gig. You know, I'm not saying I particularly believe in that. But, you know, in a guy standpoint, you know, that doesn't sound like, you know, that doesn't sound too bad.
Well, Robert, I'm going to disagree with you. That goes against my core principles. It does. I would rather have a pious ending and be with my one and only, my soulmate, than to have all that crap. Okay? But my end of days in my heaven is my wife by my side and the Lord, and being able to gaze upon the Lord in his heaven. That to me is the ending of where I'll wind up. My own planet, I mean, that sounds so hubris, right? I mean, how did the Christian equate with that to me? I mean, that's me, right? That's just my opinion. Okay? But, you know, if I was like an atheist, I'd say, wow, yeah, that sounds pretty good. If I could relate to that, but, you know, I can't go with it. Anyway, that's me. That's just me.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean, to each, you know, one thing I say, you know, I respect different people's views, you know, and things of that nature. And, you know, I've said also, you know, when in regards to, you know, the voting for, you know, who people feel, you know, they're conscious to vote for. So, look, if your conscience is telling you to vote for Romney, okay, then, you know, this is America, you know, you vote your conscience. But... I'm going to read some in the chat in a minute. But just also respect mine, you know, because I've been saying for a long time that if Romney does indeed get the nomination, that, you know, there's a very good chance that I'll be writing Newt Gingrich in on the ballot, just out of principle. But, yeah, we're talking about about the Romney, you know, you die, Mormons, and you die, you go to heaven, you maybe get a planet, multiple wives, and Kathy puts in the chat, Robert, shame on you. You probably have more than you can handle right now. Well, I appreciate that, Kathy. I appreciate that. But you know what? Having my own planet, that actually sounds kind of cool, though. I think I like the idea of having my own planet. I don't know.
Hey, I could imagine a man cave, you know. That'd be so hot.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You could have a whole mountain. You could have a whole mountain be your man cave. I mean, come on. It's your planet. Like, hey, you know, I'd be like, I don't know what I'd name it. I mean, it wouldn't be like, you know, Robert Planet or something like that. It'd have some kind of cool name, but, you know. I don't know enough about the Mormon religion. I just know what she said the wives. My wife is enough to handle. But you know, I know I'm going to digress really bad right now. But has anyone? Have you ever seen that? There's a show or documentary about this guy's got like the sister wives. Or I mean, they're not literally sisters. You know, but this show called The Sister Wives, and this guy, I guess he's a Mormon. He's got like four or five wives and what have you, and I don't know. But, well, I mean, come on. I mean, it's not any worse than than Islam saying, you know, you die, you get all these, especially if you die for the cause of Islam, you know, you get, what, 72 virgins or something like that?
I've heard 17 say it. But anyway, just that whole thing about, you get a bunch of virgins is, to me, that's like, oh, man, what's with this?
Yeah. Let me put it this way, and I normally don't digress in this manner, but I just can't help myself on this point. Think about this. If you're now, let me make this disclaimer. I'm not saying anything about, virgins or virginity or anything like that. It's just a little joke. It's just something funny. So don't, you know, it's not to be offensive to anyone or anything. But, you know, if you're going to go up there and there's 72 virgins up there, you know, they're probably virgins for a reason. So, I mean, why would you want them anyway? You know, it's a joke. It may be a bad joke. Sometimes my jokes go like a lead balloon. But I've seen a cartoon where, you know, one time where people are like, well, yeah, think about it, guys. If they're still, you know, if they're up in heaven and they're still virgins, then come on. Would you really want them when you got there anyway or something like that? So, I guess trying to say that the virgins are ugly and the reason they're virgins because they're ugly. That's the gist of the joke. They're probably saying, look, these girls that these, you know, Muslims are getting, you know, are probably ugly because they probably, if they live the full life and they're, you know, in heaven and they're still a virgin, then they're probably ugly. That's what the joke's, I guess, supposed to be.
Yeah, I think Donna got it right. It's the nuns.
It's the nun?
The nuns, you know, they're celibate all their life. And.
Oh, I see that. I get that. Well, I appreciate it. There's a couple of people who liked it, yeah. So, there you go. The more, was that you who put that in there? The more woman religion?
Yeah, well, that, you know, the more men that get to get all the women when they go to their own planet. Well,
the
how
more
about,
woman,
you know,
yeah, I like that.
The woman gets a planet and gets a whole bunch of, I'd say eunuchs, but then that defeat the purpose, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. That is true, yeah, that wouldn't help them. You know, well, yeah, more the more woman religion. Here's the thing. I mean, it's got to be a good gig, man. Think about it, because if it's heaven, I mean, there's not gonna be any fights. There's not gonna be any violence. Everything's gonna be great, right? So there's not gonna be any, you know, like you got. I mean, there's not gonna be any nagging. Sorry, ladies, but I'm just joking, guys. You know, or girls. You know, I'm just trying to have a little fun. It's been. You know, as I said before, and I'm not trying to belabor the point, but it's been a very stressful week, and I'm finding myself in the with the need to cut up and laugh a little bit, this week. So I apologize for that. I digress. But let's get back to the seriousness of the show. So I'll get back to it. But anyway, what I was going to play for the folks who just came in before I digressed way too much is I was going to bring this up earlier, and you said it was kind of garbled, is where you hear the nays being ignored here by Mr. Boehner.
And the opinion of the chair is the ayes have it, and the motion is agreed to.
Oh,
to proceed with the order of business.
The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Any other chair, the ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
There you have it, folks. And there you have it, folks. Yeah, there was a little bit more ahead of time. And what was happening is the people shouting USA were trying to drown out the people, the Ron Paul supporters, because they were saying, seat the delegates, seat the delegates. You know, I believe they're talking about Maine and the other delegates. And so, that's the beginning part was about. But you did hear where you really could not differentiate between the yays and the nays. And then, of course, with the beginning where we played because it was live, the reality check from Ben Swan where he's talking about, you really couldn't tell the difference between the yays and the nays.
Yeah, sorry about sneezing. Sorry about sneezing.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was just absolutely atrocious. For something with that small of differentiation either way, to not have a poll vote, one by one vote, or at least a state by state vote, is to me it's a tragedy. It's criminal. It's not actually law breaking because this is the fact that the GOP being a private club and they do anything they damn well please. Well, so can we, and we can voice some serious disdain in every place we can, and ultimately replace the criminals on the top, or go to a party that embraces the right things for our nation. Because right now, this GOP is not it, but that RNC leadership.
I agree. I mean, there's some talk about, here's the thing. It's the moderates and the liberals in the Republican Party that have pretty much, caused, us to be in the position that we are in now. And so there are some who speculate that, it's going to take the Republican Party to crash and burn in order for the other Republicans to kick these guys out, kick out Boehner, kick out Priebus, and put, conservatives in there instead of these, these rhinos. Now, there's some saying that, one way to bring the Republican Party back is someone mentioned that, on a show I heard, I think it was on Sammy's show, that it's almost like an alcoholic who, or someone on drugs or something like that or anything like that, where they actually have to hit rock bottom before they see the error of their ways and try to come back. And that might be something that the Republican Party is going to have to do. And some are saying then perhaps maybe get someone such as Newt Gingrich to be the head of the RNC, and then maybe things can come back. But, I don't know. I mean, the RNC or the Republican Party may be that far gone that they can't be brought back, and perhaps the only way to get conservatism and libertarianism back in the game, so to speak, then it's going to have to be third party.
Yep, right there. Sorry, I'm typing in something. I'm multitasking a little over, sorry.
Oh, no problem. Well, one of the things... I tell you what, I flipped back to the convention, and they had Romney and Ryan there sitting, looking up, staring at something, and they had that, oh my God, we did it look on their face, and it just totally ticks me off to see that, it's just like, oh, you scum, And here we go. Here's talk about, here, you scum.
I'm going to play this audio here because I've been wanting to play these for the past couple nights, but I haven't had the opportunity. So this is, you know, I'm going to play a little series here of what the RNC did to the – now, let me know, of course, I am a new – I was a Newt Gingrich supporter, and I still am. And, you know, I was fighting until the very end for Newt Gingrich. But what these guys did to the Paul and the Paul, you know, the Paul and the Paul supporters is just egregious. And here's a couple clips I want to play on that. Now that's after the delegates erupt after being barred from the convention.
They dug in there talking about we support our soldiers. They got rid of 7 of them on our delegation. 2 recently serving in Afghanistan and Iraq. How dare they? Shame on them. Shame on them.
You're the anger.
I was jammed. I was duly elected as a delegate for the state of Maine by 1,000 of my fellow Republicans.
Yeah, they're trying to chow him down, the Romney people. Trying to shut him down. There you go. There you go.
People understand that we're all being screwed here. If it can happen to me, if it can happen to Maine, it can happen to anybody and everybody.
Does it have a consequence at all? Will you not work for the Romney campaign as a result of what happened here today?
I am going to focus my efforts on electing Republicans on the state and local level.
But not Romney.
Is Romney better than Obama?
That is not going to be my priority.
You know what? After the way that they treated us, treated the state of Maine, treated us Republicans, they should be worried about how this is going to affect the election. Absolutely.
The people of Maine should be respected. Those voters that put us here, they should be respected. This is a sham. I love every one of you guys, and I love all those people back home.
Okay, that's one, folks. Now, here's one where you can clearly hear where Ron Paul won more delegates in Nevada than Romney did, but listen to the lady and how she deals with it at the end.
Nevada, 28 votes.
In Nevada, freedom is not just a word, it is a way of life. The Silver State is well represented here at the National Convention. We have delegates from Clark County, home of Las Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world. Douglas County, on the shores of beautiful Lake Tahoe. Elko County, mining capital of the world. And Washoe County, home of the biggest little city in the world. 6 states nominated the champion of the Constitution, Congressman Ron Paul, for president of the United States. Iowa, Minnesota, Alaska, Virgin Islands, Oregon, and Nevada. In the spirit of freedom that inspired the founding of our country, and in honor of the liberty that has made the United States the greatest country on earth, we proudly cast 17 votes for Congressman Ron Paul. Five abstentions and 5 for Romney.
Listen to what this lady does now. This is what's been finished.
Nevada!
By
5. Romney. New Hampshire! 12 votes!
Madam Secretary.
See how she just totally ignored the delegates that went to Ron Paul. She only mentioned the delegates that went to Romney. And it was even more delegates went to Ron Paul than Romney. Disgusting. As I said, I am a Newt Gingrich and always have been a Newt Gingrich supporter. But what these folks did, not only to Newt Gingrich, but also to Ron Paul and his supporters and his delegates, I mean, as I said, just egregious.
It is.
Go ahead.
No, I just said, I have a hard time even believing that this is this happening. I mean, I do, right? But it's one of those shock and awe kind of things that that our representative republic is being so bastardized by the RNC. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and someone mentioned earlier that the Romney campaign ought to be concerned about how this is going to affect the election, and I think he ought to be. Not just for the Ron Paul people, but all the other folks, that, you know, the Newt Gingrich folks and just libertarians and conservatives in general, in the way they were treated and marginalized in this, you know, in this election season. But this is what the Ron Paul supporters had to say about the GOP.
I want to make sure that when the Republican Party loses terribly to, in my opinion, the worst president in American history, I want them to make sure that it's because they systematically shut out the most intelligent, most active, and youthful voting bloc in American history.
Hi, I'm Zach Weissmuller with Reason TV. We're here at the Tampa State Fairgrounds with the diehard Ron Paul fans waiting for Paul Fest.
Paul Fest is the grassroots celebration of sort of the end of the 2012 Ron Paul campaign. It is not done with the cooperation or attendance of Ron Paul or the official Ron Paul machine.
How do you feel like the Ron Paul faction has been treated by the Republican Party this time around?
I mean, definitely as the outcast.
We are playing by the rules, okay? That's why the other side is so frustrated.
You feel like the other side's not playing by the rules?
They're changing the rules by the minute.
The few people I've talked to here so far seem to be pretty frustrated with the Republican Party right now. Can you explain where that frustration's coming from?
Yeah. It's largely coming from what we've seen in the last couple of weeks with the fights over whether Ron Paul's various state delegations would be seated.
It was a kangaroo court. I came down here as a delegate thinking we could have a conversation about rules, platform, procedures, and maybe be brought into the campaign and, you know, get some of our planks, you know, accepted. But, you know, they made clear yesterday that they perceive us more as a nuisance than potential allies.
During the state convention, we got railroaded. We didn't end up getting seated at the convention here in Tampa.
Let delegates participate and actually have a voice instead of just scripting the whole thing like it already is.
Romney has probably lost even some of the support he might have had. There is definitely a very bad taste in the mouth about Romney and about the official Republican political machine.
If you even want to imply that we are involved in some kind of common cause with a monster like Mitt Romney, then you have missed the whole point of the Ron Paul revolution.
I am not planning on supporting Mitt Romney.
Why not?
Well, after seeing the tactics employed by his campaign yesterday, you know, really upset me.
No way I could support someone like him.
How does this affect your attitude towards the Republican Party?
It makes me feel like they are a bunch of idiots.
Uh-huh. You can reform the Republican Party if you want to. Look at the way the Republican Party has treated Ron Paul.
If Romney wins the nomination, I'll be supporting Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson's campaign is making a very intelligent bid for the Ron Paul voter. He's not afraid to come here and ask for the Ron Paul vote.
We'll show the world and the nation that what Ron Paul has stood for is not a fluke, it's the future. Live free! Live free!
The frustration, I think, can get focused in a way that will have an impact in this election, and that would be voting for me.
To say that they'll go third party, yeah. I think nobody in the Ron Paul movement really wants to see Barack Obama or Mitt Romney get the presidency. You know, we're pretty much libertarians, and we'll go the route to the person who believes closest to us.
Suspicious of the media.
Well, I'm suspicious of the media? Well, we don't call it lamestream media for nothing.
I'm not part of the mainstream media.
Well, I said lamestream.
Oh, I am part of the lamestream media, that's true.
Okay.
Okay, folks, and with the conservatives who were getting behind Newt Gingrich and a good deal of them not supporting Romney, with the libertarians who support both Gary Johnson and Ron Paul not supporting Romney, for some of the folks who support Sarah Palin not supporting Romney, okay, and a host of others, what makes them think that they even have a shot at winning in November? Now, one thing that's come onto the platform, that or there's discussion of in the platform, and I'd like to know more about it if it's indeed the case, but it is something that I've been hearing about and have to do further research on. And I know there's someone in the chat who may know more about this than I do. And if that person, if they're comfortable, will call in and discuss what they know about this, then or chime in about it, that'd be great. Or yourself, Paul, heard about this as well, is that they're discussing a two-state solution when they're talking about Palestine and Israel and creating a Palestine state. And some are considering, or at least what I heard, is there's a consideration of that being on the Republican platform. So have you heard anything like that, Paul?
No, I haven't. But you know, quite frankly, I haven't paid much attention to the Republican platform as yet. I'm still too disgusted and wondering if we want to pay any attention to them except for local tickets.
No, I understand yeah. that. And as I said, yeah. I know that there's someone who's in the chat who might be able to speak more. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I can give an opinion on what I think of that rather than you know not is that on the platform should it be on, is that on the platform? I mean, my personal opinion is that should not be part of a platform. That will be that will be a divisive item and not a unification item.
No, divisiveness is not something that the RNC or the Romney campaign seems to care to avoid. They don't seem to worry about divisiveness.
Yeah, I'm tracking with you, but you know it's one of those things of you know should it happen versus you know do they give a crap and they're pandering to somebody? You know is that a pandering thing or is that living by conservative principles? You know, my view at this point is what should go on the platform is that's not one of those things on conservative principles that should go into the platform. Should it be something that we espouse or something that we say that we want to progress as an international policy? Sure, let's have that debate. Let's talk about it. Let's surface that. But I personally don't believe it should go on the platform right now.
No, I agree. I mean, that's definitely, you know, now personally, I'm not too keen on the idea, especially if part of that two, especially if that two-state solution idea involves the splitting of the city of Israel, not Israel, Jerusalem. Because that's actually that's part of the two-state solution is actually having one of the lines being through. Jerusalem, where one half would go to the Palestinians and the other half would go to Israel, and that's something I do not agree with.
Yeah, well, that's the old that was the old Russian strategy. That was the old strategy around Germany at the end of World War II. And look how that turned out, right?
Exactly.
The German people were just devastated. Berlin was two cities; it wasn't one city. Trying that again, this is a democratic thing, right? Let's try it again. Maybe we can make it work this time. Well, no, I'm not saying the Syrian people should not have a place to call home, okay? But you know, my shoulder with Israel is that Jerusalem is their city. Period. Everybody else, you know, you can visit, but you know. You have no claim here. This is Israel. And that's the way I believe, that's the way I think. And trying to divide it to achieve some political, home political ends is, you know, me, I'll just call it like it is, bullshit. That's just my personal opinion.
Right, and we know what, you know, all the bad things that could come out of you know, doing something just for its political expediency. We're trying to score political points somehow. Or saying,
right.
Oh, let's say, hey, look, we've got a solution, so we solved something. Well, no, just because you have a solution, you know, it doesn't mean that that's, or, you know, isn't a real solution, you know what I mean? By saying,
right.
Oh, well, this is our solution, this is what we do. That doesn't mean it's going to solve the problem just because you call it, you know, a solution. You know, when you're doing it just to try to score some kind of political point saying, hey, look what we've done. You know,
yeah,
because, I mean, you might do something, but then the ramifications afterwards, you know,
right.
After
so,
you're already out of office.
Right. So it's something like that. You know, if we hold to it, let me just kind of give you my opinion and holding to conservative values and shoulder to shoulder with Israel in a Christian way. Okay. If I look at those two values and I say, well, what would you do to solve the Israel problem? Hey, baby, where do you want your borders? I want them here. Okay, go stake them out. Our military's in the Gulf. Let me know if somebody's pissed at you. Phone call. Here's your number. Go get them. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. That's it. That's the end of the conversation, right? Because what's surrounding Israel? Okay, where's our vested interest in helping them protect their borders? Okay, none. Absolutely none. Okay, the rest of it is all about oil and a free flow of oil. Okay, but the bottom line is, if my values are not met by Israel being secure and we got their backs, if they get into any trouble on that, okay, and keeping other people off Israel's back while they secure their borders, then the rest of the stuff is mute. So that's where I come down on the whole thing, just taking those two values, conservative Christian, and standing with Israel's shoulder. Okay. Anybody else is free to weigh in or comment or thought on that?
Okay. Well, and while I see some new folks in here, if you've enjoyed the show, and I hope you have, one thing that you could do is, and I would be honored if you did, is if you followed the show, and it's really easy, and I've explained it to you, where you just go to the homepage, which I believe you're probably already on, and underneath the I don't go into my own shoes. I'm not sure how that looks, but I believe you just go to the icon of the show, and underneath it has a little follow button. Just click on the follow button, and then you're following the show, which, as I said, I'd really appreciate if you would do that. And I believe all that does is send email reminders that, oh, hey, the show's about to start or something like that. I think that's the case. So
it lets Robert capture you in IM also if you're in Facebook. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Don't do that. It doesn't do that, but it does. I don't know if it.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, you're just joking. Okay, thank you. Yeah. So I mean, it's, you know, and I'd really appreciate it, folks, for that. So yeah, I'm not sure whether the convention is still going on. I believe. Holly was watching it. So, Holly, if you're in the chat or if you would like to call in to the show to give us your take on it, I believe when we chatted earlier on Facebook that you were going to, that you're watching. If you'd like to chime in and chat or call in at area code 347-945-7428 to chime in on it, that'd be good. We'd appreciate it. Yeah, she says it's over now. Anything, Holly, would you like to call in to talk about or something you'd like to put in the chat, go ahead and I'll read it off to the audience. For those of you who are not in the chat or for the people who are going to be listening to this later on the archive. There's multiple ways people listen to the show, actually, other than the browser and, you know, so. There's also actually, you can listen to it from my website, the Bars Logic Local Talk website, but go ahead. No, I'm sorry about that. I interrupted you. I'm sorry, Paul.
No, that's okay. I'm just rattling on with thoughts in my head, and when they come up, I just start talking. It's just my bad habit. My wife always tells me, are you talking to me or are you just talking? I said, well,
sorry. You're talking out loud, yeah.
But convention speeches. Does anybody remember Bill Clinton's nomination speech? And I can't remember who was it for. But it was who ran against Reagan?
Who ran against Reagan?
Yeah. No,
the
no.
First time or the second time?
The second time when he was president. The second term.
Yeah, it was Mondale.
Is Mondale? Yeah, he gave Mondale's nomination speech. And that sucker was 2.5 hours long.
Oh, my gosh.
And the loudest cheer that he got was when he said, and in closing, and the audience erupted.
But, hey, Holly, I just wanted to let you know your mic is live. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Robert. I just watched while I came in from Bible study.
How did you stomach that? I would have been projectile vomiting all over the living room.
You know, the old saying, keep your enemies close. So I watched it, and I watched it before Bible study. I wanted to see Newt Gingrich and Callista. And they were awesome.
I would have liked to see that. That part of the convention I would have liked to watch if I wasn't, you know, doing the shows. And I have watched some of the convention, as I said, just for reporting purposes, but as to Romney's speech, that's what I couldn't stomach. But go ahead.
But yeah, I definitely wanted to watch Newt and Callista Gingrich, and they were just awesome. And after watching them, I'm like, okay, what do I do? You know, because I didn't want to vote for Mitt Romney. So now I'm kind of torn because, after that, I went to Bible study. And then I came home, and Clint Eastwood came on, and oh my gosh, you have got to go find that when it comes out if you didn't get to see it. It's just phenomenal. It was just amazing. And so anyway, I'm torn. I'm just like, my dislike for Obama is much greater than my dislike for Romney now. Yeah, well, I mean, it always has been, but I mean, so I'm torn on what to do now. I'll just put it that way. And originally I was a Herman Cain supporter, and then he emphatically endorsed Newt Gingrich, so I went Newt Gingrich. And with listening to Newt Gingrich and Callista tonight, I mean, I'm just torn. I'm just torn. That's my feeling right now.
But here's the thing. That's fine. I understand, and I understand why. Because I'm sure, you know, Newt Gingrich, you know, said a lot of things, you know, maybe about Romney or the Republican parties or how bad it is, how important it is to beat Romney. I mean, beat Romney, yeah. Beat Obama, in my mind, is the same thing. But here's what I think, is the thing that came out of Newt Gingrich, what Newt Gingrich said, regardless of what the E actually said, I mean, the actual words, basically, Newt is a party loyalist. Okay, he was supporting the party, probably much more so than supporting Mitt Romney. But the thing is I love Newt, but I disagree with him in his support for the Republican Party. I just do. I just can't do that. So.
Well, and that's why I say.
And look what they've all done to Newt. I mean, if you ever think, well, maybe to vote for Romney. Think of what the Romney has done to Newt, what he's done to conservatives, what the RNC has done, in marginalizing conservatives.
I watched it all.
You know?
I supported Huckabee way back when Mitt was running. I've been there, you know. But I'm just torn. I just am really torn right now. Because of, like I said initially, my dislike for Obama. And that's putting it very nicely, is more than my dislike for Romney. And there again, you're holding your nose and you're voting, and it's the lesser of two evils, and
just,
Obama being the greater evil. Yeah.
Right, and it's the same thing over and over and over again. You know, it's just the same thing. You know,
I mean, I was, like, ready to vote Clint Eastwood in after I saw him. You've got to see that.
Well, I'm gonna, I'm gonna try something new here, folks, and I've never done this before, is I'm actually able to call a guest because someone has a software in which they cannot call in, but they'd like to call in. And what I'm going to try to do is see if I can okay, never mind. This said it's okay. I was gonna try to dial in for them to come in.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could. Yeah. Well, her name is Holly as well. So when I was talking to you, well, yeah, of course. She thought she meant herself. But no, Holly, definitely. Well, no, definitely, Holly. I'd like to hear from you too. So if you'd like to call in, I definitely would like to hear from you. So I mean, I've got the number. And so I could try calling it in. Just let me know when the – I'm talking to her via Facebook. So if you'd like to call in, just send me a message, and I'll dial the number to get you in. We have about 7 minutes left. So go ahead, Holly, if there's anything else you want to add. And then follow up to that.
I'm just, you asked me to call in, so I did. And, you know, and
so
I'm going to be honest, so –
Okay, well, no, that's fine. And actually, it's interesting because, you know, throughout the whole thing, and then I'm going to just make this comment, Paul, and then go ahead if you'd like, is, you know, we've had people go to the, you know, conventions, you know, like Newt Gingrich was at, and he'd be like, oh, well, it's time to get behind Romney. And then, of course, you know, the person who went there would feel the magic, and, you know, the magic would affect him a little bit. You know, they'd be under the spell of, oh, my gosh, Hill, we need to get behind Mitt because, you know, Obama's so bad and blah, 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 blah. But I think once that the magic wore off to some of those people, and they came back to start supporting Newt. And I think the same thing could very well happen here where, you know, you're going to have the convention, the magic of people listening to these speeches is going to take its effect for a while, but then I think it's going to wear off. And the reason
I'm
going to
watch
wear
the
off,
debates also, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to watch the debates also. They're still to come between, you know, well, of course, Mitt and Obama, but then, you know, Joe Biden and then Paul. Those will be interesting debates.
Well, I don't think the Obama and Romney debate, I think that'll be a debacle, listening to those. But what do you think, Paul? Let me think about that. About the magic and is it going on?
I would much rather see Newt Gingrich debate Obama, but that's me.
sorry, coming off mute there. There's no doubt Mitt's going to get a bump from the convention. He had, at least from what I've been able, because I didn't listen to any of it, but from what I've gathered from other folks talking and the Twitter, the Facebook, there was some very good speakers there that said a lot of very good things. Okay, so there will be a good bump. How long will that last? I'll give it 2 weeks. Okay, because out of that now, Mitt's going to have to carry the message because that's who people are going to be voting for. He can't have his surrogates carry the message to get him elected. Right. That's what I'm stuck on in my firm belief. So as we kind of look at this, what message can Mitt carry, and how is he going to hold up in the debates? Because the debates are going to, you know, remember you played that clip, Robert, about Obama's comments. Well, you don't like my health care, but I put it out there just right after Romney's in Massachusetts. Well, I'm anti-gun, and so is Romney when he was governor, but now he's not. Yeah, that whole diatribe around Obama and with Romney being the same on the records that they have. Now that, and so what have they got? They're going to have to go after each other in a very negative way. And
since you brought that up, I was looking for that, and because I thought Mitt Romney's going to be like John McCain and not go after Obama, but I saw him at the end being very strong and going after Obama, and I'm hoping that stays true, because, you know, they pulled Sarah Palin back. She was a real barracuda going after him, and they pulled the reins back on her, And I'm like, what are you doing? Let her go. You know, let her keep going. You know, and so I did, it surprised me, because I did watch it, to see, you know, Mitt Romney actually be strong. I never saw that side of him. And,
well, but, you know, I think it's good. I think
and I'm not a Mitt Romney supporter. I'm just saying what I saw. So don't don't lash out at me, please.
No, I'm not gonna lash out at you at all.
Yeah.
And I think the only chance that Mitt has is to be strong. But the problem with Mitt is that he doesn't have a positive message of his own to be strong with and to be able to talk to instinctively. And that will break down quickly, because hearing the same soundbite time after time is not going to play well. So when this turns into the debates, and there's four of them, how will these guys go after each other in the debates? It's going to be slugfest.
Absolutely.
It's going to be ugly, because neither of them have a positive message to bring voters to their side. So it's got to be eviscerate the other guy, because negativism works. But when both of them are there doing that, the people turn off to that. After a bit, they turn off to that. It's short-lived, and then they turn off. So what's going to happen is what I see is Gary Johnson and the Libertarian Party, his numbers are going to start to go up, because he's going to have to be included in the debates. Okay. If they're successful in keeping Gary Johnson out of the debates, it'll be the lowest turnout ever in the history of any election.
Yeah.
And even when we're at 200 million population, we may see a lower turnout than in the last 100 years or something. I don't know. I really think that. So if Gary Johnson is in the debates, he doesn't have to attack those guys. He just has to stay on message with his positive stuff. I agree with everything Gary Johnson stands for. I don't agree with everything in the Libertarian Party, but he has there's enough of the core values to appeal to the conservative base that doesn't like Mitt, and those who are turned off by the negativism on both of those guys going after each other is the only way to knock them down, so to speak. So I see Gary Johnson's numbers going up. So what happens after that? What does that translate to? Well. The key swing states, okay, is where that translates to. Gary siphoning off enough to have Mitt lose in the key swing states translates to the hugest loss the Republicans have seen in a long, long time. And to me, right now, with the information I have, that's where my head is going. Now, will it play out that way? I don't know. We need to take stock of this stuff almost on a daily basis, the way things change, right? Somebody could have a faux pas slip, and boom, it's all over for the next 6 weeks, right? And then who knows where it plays out. But go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we've got less than a minute left, unfortunately. So I'll have to wrap this up, and we'll definitely continue this conversation another time. So thank you, Holly, for calling in. Thank you, Holly, for
trying to get me in here.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thank you, the other Holly, for trying to come in. Hopefully we can get you in here on another night. Thanks to all the listeners here on live and on the archives. And for you in the chat, thank you as well for all of your participation. And I will see you next time, everyone. Take care and have a good night. And please, it's going to be turning off shortly except for the people on the line, but I'm going to play the ending song and listen to a few seconds of it before it cuts off, because it helps to unwind after a show. So thank you very much again, and take care.
All right, good night, Robert.
Good night.